Hello and welcome to this month's Newbie Live. We are talking all about setting goals. This session is titled Hitting the Mark. So it's going to be about setting those goals for your homeschool, achieving them, maybe altering some of them a little bit to meet the needs of your students, and figuring out really what the purpose is for your family in homeschooling in the first place. So joining me today is Christy. She's one of your Sunlight mentors, and we're going to be walking you guys through this topic and sharing some of our own experiences. But before we get started, Christy, would you like to start by introducing yourself?
I'm Christy, and I'm glad to be here today. I am mom to four sons. Two are now in college, and two are in high school. We started out about 15 years ago, and we've done every level from, I would say, preschool through high school. Not all of my students did all of those grades. I had some who started in the public school system and then had a short time. I think up the most is 2 years. And then and we had a little time of in school and then homeschooling and then back to school and then back to homeschooling. So we've done a little mix early in the early years with my oldest two, and then my youngest two have done preschool through high school all the way through.
Well, I appreciate you being here, and I think it's going to be good because you do have experience both with school and homeschool and kind of that back and forth, which I think a lot of times when people are starting out, they wonder, do they have to commit to homeschooling forever, or what does it look like if you don't? My kids, I've homeschooled since day one, but I always joke that I was an accidental homeschooler. I only planned to do it when my daughter was in preschool and pre-K, and then I was going to put her in school for kindergarten. But it was going so well, we just kept going. And so now she's in high school, my son is in fourth grade, and it's been such a blast and such a rewarding experience for us that now I cannot even imagine putting my kids in school. So it's funny, we all kind of have our own journeys of how we got to this place. And so I'm really excited to have you here, Christy, and hear your experiences as we talk through this topic. So let's talk about goals. We're kind of mid-year if you're on an American homeschool schedule or school schedule, but if you're international, we're kind of at the beginning of the year. So that's why we just thought this would be a perfect time for this topic. But let's talk about the goals you might want to set for your homeschool. I know for me, at least, I was very compartmentalized and thinking academically, right? This is school. So what are my academic goals? But there's also non-academic goals you can set as well. So how does somebody go through and figure out what those are, or maybe reevaluate what they are if they're midway through their year.
I think this is a good time to evaluate, and you can kind of think about when you're about halfway through the first year, wow, there are a lot of things that impact our day that aren't academic goals that I could set that could help. Those might be organizational goals, they might be academic goals, or time goals, personal goals, fitness, health, relational, spiritual, professional, parental. There are all sorts of goals. And I would say, one thing I would say is, I think it's helped me. I've done all of those, but not all in the same year. So you don't have to feel like you need to tackle all of the things or you will burn out on, all of your trying to, you'll just run in circles trying to meet all your goals every all day. But I would say step back and look at the things that are the most stressful to you, or that are the, you can even talk to your students and say what, maybe they have some goals. They have great insight. Even when my guys were little, when we would talk about, what do you think would make our day easier? That's an easy way to phrase that. So yeah, those type of goals. And then for academic goals, those are great to actually chat about too with my students, with my husband. My husband is working full time during the day, but still he has he's a good sounding board for me whenever I'm trying to decide how to handle something, maybe an academic goal that I'm aiming for with each of my guys. Those are and even the other goals as well. What's most important? What doesn't matter to you? What does? Because sometimes I think we tend to put too many things on our plate and we put too much pressure on ourselves. And so sometimes if I can mark off some things that don't even matter to anyone else in the house, and I'm, you know, tooling away, trying to do this perfectionistic thing, and then realize I'm the only one who cares about this. And I don't really care about it that much either. I can, you know, narrow this down and we're going to focus on something else. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's an important thing to remember what you said about who does this goal matter to. Something else too, because I'm very much a goal-oriented person. I'm very type A. I love having things to shoot for. But if I tried to put that on like my husband, who's incredibly laid back, and he did not come up with his own goal, that would be like very stifling for him. And same thing with my kids, right? I have to remember that just because I learned certain things one way or another, or this would be a goal of mine, it doesn't mean that my kids are going to thrive under the same goals or meet their goals the same way. So I love what you said about talking to your kids, even very young kids, you know, something like what would make our day easier, or what do you want to learn about? You know, those types of questions are so good. I know I've talked about it in some of our other sessions, but something that I discovered with my son is that if I just stack all the books on the table that are listed in the IG and then let him choose which order we read through them, or sometimes he'll say, oh, I'm really liking that book. Can we keep reading in that one instead of reading this one that I don't want to read, you know, right now? When I give him a little more autonomy there to make those decisions, school always goes smoother. So if you feel like you're kind of butting your head against the wall, or things are just not getting done, and your goal at this point is, I just want to finish my year, I want to finish my curriculum, what's happening? Maybe give your kids a little bit more of an option to determine what their goals are or what order they want to do things in. Christy, I know you meet with your older students to kind of plan out their year at the beginning of the year. Do you want to describe that process a little bit for those watching who have older kids that are ready to kind of take that next step?
Yeah, this is something that just developed over time and started around middle school, that we take time and we set out, you know, we look at our requirements for the year, if we have any for our state. I kind of explain to them that, you know, these are not all just coming from me. This is legally required that we do X, whatever that is. You know, if we have, you know, tests some years and some years we don't, you know, at the middle and high school level, whatever that year's going to look like. I think it's easy for us to just think, oh yeah, we're doing this year, and we kind of have our plan in place. So sitting down with them and walking through, this is, okay, fifth grade is a new year, or sixth grade, or whatever year it is a new year for you. You've never done this before. Let's talk through these new things that are exciting. And here are, you know, before we were doing this, and now you have choices. You could do this or this, or even with elementary, you could do this. I didn't at the elementary level, but I think it would have been a great idea to still sit down and say, you know, just before we start, let's talk about, how do you want to lay out your day? You know, what would you want to do first? If you could do any subject you wanted to do first, okay, so you really want to do this subject, but you really love this subject. So do you think it would be better if we got out of the way the thing that you don't love the most, and then you're finished every morning by whatever time in the morning? And they might say, oh yeah, let's do that. You know, then I don't have to think about it again, you know, or they might say, no, that would be just demoralizing to do that first thing in the morning. They might not use the word demoralizing, but anyway, they might not want to do their least favorite thing first thing in the morning. That just might kill the love for the day. So it's good to talk through those things and kind of get a plan together.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think something important to look at is how realistic these goals are setting, or how detailed they are. I think sometimes our tendency is to be like, oh, we're going to do this and this and this. You know, we get all excited at the beginning of the year and we make kind of unrealistic goals, or we set very high expectations, or like you said, you kind of have your plan for the year in your mind. But if you have not communicated that with the student, or gotten their buy-in, or even your spouse, or whatever the situation is, you might find that you're butting up against, you know, somebody that's saying like, oh, well, I can't do that. You know, mom, this is too hard for me. Or, are you trying to push your kid because, wow, they're really smart. Let's do all the things. Let's read all the extra. And then we're going to do all this extra stuff too. And they're tired and they don't like it. And it feels like too much work. Because I do think Sunlight, with its literature base, it's so fun. Oftentimes it does not feel like school. But you can definitely, if you're being very rigid about your schedule and checking all the boxes, and we have to finish this before we can do this, it's going to feel like a lot of work. It's not going to be something that you're enjoying. So yeah, I think maybe how do you keep those goals maybe a little more realistic or a little more flexible too? I think the longer I homeschool, the more flexible I've become when I realize the things that I stressed about early on don't really matter in the long run. But how would you talk to somebody maybe who's in that early stage where they don't quite understand that yet, or maybe they're making really high goals because they're viewing their child or their situation maybe in an unrealistic light?
Yeah, I wrote down a non-academic example from my November calendar. I made myself the goal to finish all Christmas shopping in November, and that was unrealistic for me. On the academic side, one of the first things that comes to mind is in the preschool years. My son was two, and my husband had a coworker at work who was very gung-ho about her two-year-old who was learning all of these things. And when I would go in and have lunch, she knew how to, I had a background in education. My background is I have a bachelor's of science in education. And so she knew this. So she wanted to ask me all the questions and she would be like all nervous. And she'd say, okay, so my two-year-old knows how to count to 100 and all the letters. And this, and it was this long list of things. Now, what do we need to work on next? And I was just like, oh my, stop. But my husband heard her talking about this. And so I caught him one day in the he was my our son was having a bath, and we had these little train sponges that were along the back of a little train with all the letters. But I caught him trying to teach our son the sounds of all the letters. And I mean, no judgment if you've been drilling all the sounds of the letters, but we know that our kids regress at some point. If you teach them a lot of things, they can memorize for a time at when they're two, and then they forget at some point. It's very common that they do that. So if you pack all of this information that's meaningless into their brains, they might be able to spit it out, and it's really cool, but it's fun to see what their little brains can do. They are amazing. But just I think it's good that you think about what's realistic and making a goal that is dependent on developmental skills. And you don't know until you kind of walk through those steps. So you might think, oh, my child's brilliant and they know all of these things. And so then it can get discouraging if you just feel like it's going to be a quick freeze and you run into some road bumps, not because it's a horrible thing and you have lots to worry about, but because this is just development, and he's on his own timeline, or she's on her own timeline, and everything will be fine. You just keep making progress and understand that you have to be realistic with those goals.
Exactly. And I love that point that you made about, starting early, right? At 2 years old. And I think it's especially with your firstborn before you've had other kids, I think, and you realize some of that, you're like, oh, this kid's learning so many things. But and I love what you're saying there about like you shove so much information at them and then they either forget it or it ends up taking the next child longer or something like that. So I think it's really important to evaluate why is this important to you. That's something that I had to learn where it was like, am I wanting my child to learn to read it for because it's going to help her in life? Or am I wanting her to learn to read it for so she can show off for all of our family and friends? And look how smart this child is. She can read and do all these things, right? And I think sometimes as parents, we are excited, and especially for homeschooling, I think so many of the homeschool parents that I've spoken with, we are highly motivated individuals in the sense that we're willing to take on educating our children. So a lot of us want them to do well. We want to prove that they're learning. But that doesn't necessarily mean that we need to push them to do things early, because Christy, you brought up the developmental piece. There are so many different types of development, whether that be hand-eye coordination, the gross motor skills, reading, visual memory, all the different things and the skills that you need to acquire to be able to do some things. I know I've seen it with handwriting and pencil grip, where people are very concerned about that in young children, but they don't even have bones in their hands yet. It's still very much cartilage, and they're still learning to hold the pencil, and give them a year or two for those bones to develop, and then they'll be able to write just fine. So, yeah, I think those of you that have littles, if you're really stressed about it or wondering, like, oh, are they learning anything? Kind of step back and say, well, why is this important at this point? If they learn to read and by 10, nobody can tell that it took them longer, do I really care? And again, that was something that I think it took a few years of learning that. It took for me having two kids and realizing how differently they learned, because I just assumed the way my firstborn learned was the way all kids learned. She learns very similarly to the way I do too. So I was looking at this as like, oh, well, every kid is this way because I was this way, she's this way. And then my son was total opposite in basically every area. His strengths are very different than hers. And so it was a very eye-opening experience. But I think, yeah, like what Christy was saying, every child's going to develop at their own rate and in different areas. You might have one child that's really advanced in something and what you might think is behind, but it's not actually behind for them in another area. And then your next child might be very different. So let's talk about kind of that progress. And I think my goals really began to shift from my child needs to be able to read, or my child needs to be able to count to 100, to is my child improving? I eventually moved my goals more that route as I started to learn more about how they would develop and those types of things, because skills do take time to be learned. So how do you figure that out if you're like, I don't even know how to set a goal? Do I set like, oh, my child needs to finish this book at the end of the year? Or how do you know if they're progressing without tests? Of course, Sunlight, we don't use a lot of tests. How do you figure out if your child's still on the right track, they are moving the direction they need to be?
I do think if we're, as we're working with them each day, we don't always need a written test. We can see where they are in their progress. But I think that it's, realizing that sometimes the goal, I wrote down some early elementary goals that you might have, maybe an increase in the time, maybe by X number of minutes at the end of the semester or at the end of the year, an increase in time, that attention span of reading aloud in one sitting, if that's a difficult thing for your young student. I'm thinking young at this point, or it might be for your older student too, if they don't have a background in reading aloud, wherever, if you're new to Sunlight, then that at any age, then it does take time to build up your attention span at any age. So that increase in time of reading aloud in one sitting where you're reading to them and they're listening, building that time up, that could be a very specific goal. Improvement in handwriting in other work outside of handwriting assignments was something that I watched for science. Independence in answering the question, maybe 3 out of 5 questions without my assistance, if I'm building into, building up to them being independent in their science. That might be something that I would aim for. Look at where their frustration point or your frustration point is, and then work from there. I would say that progress, when we're talking about making progress over, just perfection here, that the skills take time. And that's a big thing to know. So sometimes we are the ones that need to learn that the most, or I am anyway, that our goal doesn't leave room, for the time it takes to learn. And so if we are frustrated that they're not picking this up by Christmas, then sometimes, we need to reset our expectations. But if it's content based, maybe ask yourself, what do you remember from first grade history? If that was even you know, a subject that was taught in first grade. What do you remember from that level? So just know that a lot of sunlight subjects that are content-based, it's amazing that we're covering the subjects that we're covering, but we don't expect him to know everything about Napoleon, and we don't expect her to know everything about centripetal force in third grade. We're providing vocabulary that they're going to hear again. We're going to talk about these concepts. They're going to see the periodic table again. They don't have to know all of those things. Even if it's covered, coverage doesn't equal the fact that they need to master that topic. If they have a vague understanding and they can tell you a couple of things about this topic that you read about today, you're doing great. That's what we wanted. And for skill-based, remember that the developmental stages with skill-based subjects like math and reading and writing, all those language arts skills, time is definitely needed for those skills to build up. For my son, I had questions in my mind about whether sunlight language arts was going to work for my elementary age students when I was going through those elementary levels, because they weren't able to sit down and write a paragraph or write a, you know, two paragraphs or whatever at the time. You know, I scribed for them. That was a very big important part. And it's what, if you read the instructor's guide, it's going to let you know that is okay. That's where you're going to get more information on the composing side if you're writing for them, because they're not having to think about all of those skills of putting pencil to paper. And so once I learned that, and once I really, you know, let that sink in, it became so much better. It required time and development. And that would be the case if you jump to a new curriculum or a new method or change up what you're doing. But I would say it does. I had, thankfully, moms encouraging me along the way that told me, keep going, trust the process, keep teaching these skills. You are laying the groundwork, and it did work.
Well, and that's a great point too. Yeah, I think sometimes when we're starting out, we have this early elementary child and we're panicking about, what about when they graduate high school? Well, that's still many, many years away. You still have a long time, just like with parenting, you will learn to parent that child as they mature and grow. Same thing academically. I love what you said about the retention piece of it, because I think so often you're reading these beautiful books in sunlight and you're like, oh my gosh, my child isn't remembering every little detail of this. But I love what you said about in first grade, what did we learn about history? I don't recall, maybe around Thanksgiving a lesson in history, but I don't recall anything else about my elementary history. And I've always loved history. So, you know, that was just something that I don't recall knowing how to do at that age. And I think we're looking at it from the adult perspective of, we remember this information. We have all that background, years of hearing about these topics again and again. So it's easier for us to remember them. But remembering that it's about exposure. I like to think about it like I was fortunate to grow up in a Christian home. I grew up in church. I don't ever remember learning the basic Bible stories. It feels like I've always known them because they were told to me again and again when I was really tiny. And so it feels like I've always known them. And the same is true if you're reading these books to your kids, the science topics, the history topics, Bible, all the different things that you repeat from year to year, they will start to pick up on that. And then it will get to that point where they're like, I don't remember learning this, but I really like this topic. That's, now that I have a high schooler, I see that a lot where she's like, oh, I remember this book we read about this topic, but she's always had, she feels like, some background knowledge on it. And it's because of all the years of repeat exposure in her sunlight. So that's something, if you don't feel like your young child is retaining it, or maybe you're bringing an older child out of school and you don't know what foundation they have in an area, you know, I would check with an advisor or mentors to kind of get recommendations on, you know, is this the right level for them? But then go read the books and then know that in a few years, you'll come back and you're going to, you know, make new connections on that topic again, whether it be science or history or something like that. And I love what you said about the language arts too, on the skill-based subjects, because I want to tell you, do not be afraid to modify those assignments if you need to. I also still scribe for my fourth grader because his thoughts come out like words 100 miles a minute. There is no way even that I can really type and keep up with him sometimes. Sometimes I have to say, wait, hold on, I didn't get all that, because he's just spitting all these ideas at me so fast. And so I scribe it out for him, and then we go through and we make edits together. And I'm like, okay, here's what you said here. Do you like that sentence? Or do you feel like maybe you repeated I in three sentences or, in a row or whatever? And we talk about those little things to improve the writing. But at 9 years old, that is the best way to write with him. Go ahead, Christy.
I think it's important to note here that the book Heartwood Hotel, that book was written by the author Callie George, I believe is her name. And her parents did this for her when she was a little girl. I saw an interview, and her parents did this exact thing and look, now she's written multiple
Yeah,
books,
multiple.
children's literature books, and she is an excellent writer with lots of nice details and all of those things you want in writing. And she's doing this as a career. And she started out with parents that took time to take that little bit of she did what some writers do, taking the time to sit down and write their ideas. That in a family with four children, that was special time for my son and I, and it was a big part of our bonding during that specific time period. And it was a joyful time for me that I know I talk about a lot when this topic comes up, because I have such good memories of that. Life was getting really complicated and busy by that time. I had four young children, and it's those memories are filled with joy of me sitting down. And the son that I'm talking about loves to read, loves to write today.
Well, and I think that's a good goal to have too. Maybe if you do have a lot of kids, is okay, I'm going to set aside time to talk with each of them individually, whatever that looks like. Or maybe you have an older child that's kind of in that teenage pushing you away phase. Well, what can we do to, have a conversation together, whether that be every day or a few times a week? I know my kids, if I get them one-on-one and feed them, they will pour out their heart and soul and whatever is interesting them, what's ever bothering them. I find out all about what's important to them. And I love what you said there, Christy, when you're talking about when a child's excited about something, they can talk all day on it. Like I think about my son, if you ask him anything about Legos, he could talk your ear off for hours about Legos, right? Or my daughter, same thing with curling her hair and, various things like that, depending on the child. But yeah, I love that. I think getting that individual time, because even I've only got two, but I still, if we're all together, I still get that mommy, 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 what about me? What about me? Listen to me. And, and kids talking over each other. And so I know it can seem busy. And like you said, when you've got a bunch of littles, that might be hard because you probably have a demanding toddler and newborn, or something like that. But if you can set aside time for, just individual one-on-one with that child, you're going to help them grow and develop academically, but it's also really good for your relationship. So yeah, setting goals like that, like, are you moving forward? Are you spending time with that child? Are you feeding into what they're interested in? If you have a child that really takes off with something, like they really love learning about whatever it is, take them to the library or a museum or do those special field trip things that go along with what they're learning about. Because that's only going to enrich their experience. You don't have to get all the learning done just from your curriculum. You can do that with experiences as well. But something else that I think is important is remembering that each child is unique in your home and they're not going to be just like you. I know I made the mistake early on. If you read sunlight books to young children, their vocabularies take off and they sound very mature at a young age. And so I would be almost shocked if one of my kids, when they were little, did something that was very normal for their age, just because so often I would talk to them like it was another adult because they just sounded so mature and they used big words and all of that. But then I'm like, what's wrong with it? Who's this kid? This isn't my child. I'm like, wait, that is a normal 6-year-old. That is a normal 7-year-old, or now that is a normal teenage response to that. You have to remember that your kids are still developing at whatever age they are. So what do you do maybe if you realize, oh shoot, I was treating that child like an adult and they're not, or maybe I'm treating them as younger than they are, or maybe they're developing really well in some areas and not in others. Like, how do you kind of figure that out and make sure you're still teaching when and interacting with your kids based on their own unique individual personalities and strengths.
I think we still have in the maybe in your resources on, this is a good time to mention that you have resources in your account with a checklist of skills and that type of thing for this age group that you're teaching. That's a good thing to look for, that little checklist of different skills for your age. Maybe your calendar, your instructor's guide, a whiteboard or planner, whatever works for you. Set a reminder and then jot notes maybe every 3 months, or I mean 3 weeks or 6 weeks or 9 weeks or daily or weekly or monthly or whatever time you determine works best, and look back at the end of the semester. If you're discouraged, if it's discouraging, I think that you can look again at the end of the year before allowing panic to set in.
Yeah, and I think that's something that you brought up there at the end that's important to know too. If you're wondering, like, is this normal or is this a cause for a concern? Definitely get into the community, the app, and just say, hey, you know, my child isn't picking up on this. What am I doing wrong here? Or what strategies can I maybe try to do to improve that? It could be a simple thing as somebody gives you an idea that you try that and it makes more sense to your child. Or if it's something that, you know, somebody says, oh, my child was that way and we went to the doctor and we were diagnosed with something. Because I do think that I know is a fear when you are the primary and sole educator to say, like, if my child does have a delay, am I going to know that? You know, what's a normal growth development situation where the child just has not caught on to this skill yet? And then what is something I should be worried about? But oftentimes your child's pediatrician is a great source for that because they're checking developmental responses to things as well. And there are resources to help you out with that too. So yeah, that's a great point that, you know, you might not see any progress, but I love the idea of taking notes because there's times we don't think there's progress, but there is when you actually look back on those notes. So whether that be their writing or maybe their math, they're missing less math problems now, you're seeing those multiplication facts kick in or you know, whatever it might be. Maybe they're reading better. They can read longer. They, you know, all of those things. Or maybe they're understanding what you're reading to them better when you ask them either the instructor's guide questions or just in your conversations with them. If they cannot answer those instructor's guide questions, don't worry. What I like to do when that happens is I'll say, okay, well, what did you hear in that chapter? Because sometimes they did not know those specific questions. And I'm, you know, I could throw my hands up and say, oh, you weren't even listening. You got nothing out of this. But then if I ask them, well, what did you hear? They can give me lots of detail on other things that happened in the chapter. So again, like I said earlier, don't be afraid to modify to meet the needs of your student. I know we talk about this with wiggly kids a lot, like let them play with a toy at the same time, a quiet toy if you need to, let them stand on their head or wiggle around or do all the different things, because you might just find that they learn and they are listening when they're doing one of those other things more than you realize initially. But I know there's something that I've often heard people say, and I don't think I got it when the kids were little until they were older and I started seeing the fruits of this, but that's that idea of relationship over curriculum. When do you know, okay, I'm pushing this too hard and, you know, school is misery. The kids are groaning or crying as soon as I pull out their schoolwork. You know, how do I still move forward, right? Because we are still responsible for educating them, but without feeling like it's a chore or drudgery every day.
Yeah, I definitely think I have to schedule in time to consider that over time. And, you know, for me, a good thing, even at the beginning of a semester, you might go ahead and pepper that in throughout the semester, because I don't tend to notice whenever I have reached that point until I've gone pretty far into that, you know? So I think it's good to put a little talk about jotting in the margins. Am I connecting, really connecting with my, you know, with this, you know, you can put the student's name each day, you know, just write that in your instructor's guide or in your planner. kind of throughout the semester that's upcoming. Have we had any fun lately? You know, have we stepped back? Are we laughing? You know, ask yourself some questions, pepper in some questions just to kind of give you some checkpoints during the upcoming semester. Are we focused on what's most important to us and what is most important? Think about that. What do you want your kids to walk away with? A love for the Lord? Is that more important than, drill, or, doing 30 problems every day in that order every day, you know, whatever it is that you tend to get, distracted with, or, even if you need to, cut a book here or there, if you need to cut out something in the curriculum. I will say that my very first year, speaking of, being a newbie, my very first year when I was a newbie, I got to week 30 and I waved a big white flag and I said, we are done. And I had this little bit of guilt, mom guilt at the end whenever I made the decision. And what ended up happening for me is my son became this sunlighter who loved reading. And one day when he was a couple of years down the road, he looked up on the bookshelf and he was like, I don't remember this book. That's because your brother was a baby and life was crazy. And we decided to call the year at week 30. And he was like, ooh, this looks interesting. Can I read it? And I said, absolutely. And so a book that was a read aloud was slated as a read aloud. He read. And then after that, I was like, do you want to read this one? He was like, yes. And he gobbled up those books that I didn't read aloud to him, and everything was great. I wanted to finish my curriculum. I paid for it. We're doing it. That's how I felt. And I get that sentiment very much so. We want to make good use of our resources and we want to use what we bought. I get that. And I feel the same way, but it doesn't have to be done in this calendar of this year. And it doesn't mean that you can't call yourself second grade next year. And none of that is tied to, whether you complete 34 weeks or 36 weeks or 35 weeks or whatever it is. I will tell you that as a middle school math teacher, I taught middle school math at one point, and I never finished the text the incomplete text. In fact, we were challenged not to do that.
Yeah, that's so true. When I think back to my own school experience, yeah, there were so many times that the book, we just didn't finish our textbook in all different subjects. I joke, I didn't learn about anything after World War II until I started using sunlight, because we never made it past that in our history. And same thing with science. I remember jumping around in the book. Math, we would never finish it. And that was very normal in school. When you think about all of the teacher in service days too, and field trips and performances and things like that, kids that are going to school are not doing all of the academic stuff every single day. But we do, we put this pressure on ourselves. And I think, like you said, Christy, when the books are looking at you, you're like, I bought this, I'm going to use this. And so my approach has always been, I'm still going to use it. It just doesn't have to be in the same year, right? And so I intentionally slowed D down because I knew there was no way my son would be able to keep up with all the readers when he got there. So we intentionally spread D out over more than a year. And that was the first time I stretched a program, but it has been the most freeing thing, because I'm like, oh yeah, we're still going to read that book, but it doesn't matter if I read it this week, before I move on in my IG to next week and do all the different things. So if you're finding that, yeah, it's a lot of reading, it is with sunlight. I love reading aloud. But if you've got multiple kids in different programs, you might feel like you just cannot keep up. So my approach is to do something whenever we're free. So I told a mom the other day, if you find you're not getting to things, put your read alouds, readers, any of those books that are easy to pick up and start reading, not necessarily your math book, but more of those conceptual, and reading based subjects, put them in a basket in your main living space. So your living room, your kitchen, wherever it is that you spend most of your time, And before you sit down to play a game or watch TV or, do something that's maybe a little more mindless, pick up that book and read a chapter together. Doesn't have to be on your schedule, whatever's in your instructor's guide, but you'll find if you start making that a routine of kind of sneaking in reading each day, you're going to actually progress very quickly through the material. The kids eventually will get to that point where they're like, oh, I want to know what's going to happen next. Can we read another chapter? Entertainment for your family will shift more towards reading those books together. And it's more fun because you don't feel the pressure of, oh, I've got to finish this, before noon every day, in the next 3 weeks or whatever. Another thing I would encourage you to do is let go of the school calendar unless you have a very important reason that you're sticking to it. But if your kids can still do the activities that run on a school schedule, you can still vacation when you want, do all those things, but don't feel like just because the local schools get out on this day, you also need to be done on that day. Or don't feel like because it's Saturday and you're not doing anything that you can't do school. And I say this as a working mom, if I'm free on a Saturday, that's when we're doing school in our house. And we might do something fun on Friday night at the end of the day or something like that. So do not feel like you have to be locked into a normal schedule. You get to decide what that is and what's best for your family. But if you are doing something every day, you are going to work through that curriculum. And the only caveat I would say about that is the skill-based subjects like reading, writing, math, those you do have to do fairly regularly till your child gets that foundation down. But that's something that can be done relatively quickly in the early years. 30 minutes a day, you're going to be able to get through a lot of that stuff. And even older kids, as they become more independent, you can say, okay, before you go play, I need you to do this math lesson. And your child will get to a point where they can do that with you maybe in the room, but not necessarily teaching them anymore. And so just kind of finding those ways to sneak school into your day, it's going to be better than saying, we're going to sit down and every day from 8 to noon, this is our school time. But feel free to be flexible, understand that life happens, and then just make sure you're doing a little something. But Christy, how do you know if a more drastic change is needed? Oh, it would be easier if I put my kids in school, or they are not learning anything from me. What do I do? Or I just don't have time to do this and all the other things I do in my life. When do you realize, like, okay, maybe I should throw in the towel, or maybe I should have the homeschool co-op teach this class to my child, or when you should maybe back off as the primary educator?
I think that it takes a lot of discernment, and I take time to pray about those things. Don't forget that we have that resource ready for us at all times. Ask someone here, ask us, the mentor team or an advisor. Don't hesitate to call. And sometimes it's great to hear that voice on the line with the advisor team. And I have relied on them over the years and have appreciated that very much and gotten just the encouragement that I needed. I do think that there are times that a step back is in some way. Also, I think sometimes it's an adjustment if we can just talk about it with our children. Sometimes there's an attitude change and they say, no, I don't want to. I've had my son say this. I've asked them the hard question that in the back of my mind I was a little concerned about. There was a popular group that you may know about that was meeting in our community, in the homeschool community, and his best friend was in the group, and he's my oldest, and he was getting to that middle school age where interaction with friends is important. And so I started to think, should we do something like that? Should we, maybe not that specific one that his friend was doing, but something, should we do more than we're doing? And I actually sat down and talked to him, and he said, I don't care what we change, just don't change sunlight. I want to do sunlight. I want to keep doing it. I do think that I'm on this team this year. I'm going to be doing this. That's good. I don't want to do anything, but for the academics, I want to do sunlight. So that was really reassuring to me that I was on the right track with him. But you may get a different answer. And if you're afraid to ask, sometimes you get relief by just asking and just having the conversation and seeing where their mind is in the whole thing. And maybe it's something you can talk about and talk through. My husband and I will talk about those things sometimes. Do you think we're still in balance? Do you think that this is a balanced thing that we're doing? Or do you think we ought to change some things up? And I know also I wanted to be sure that I talked about when you feel like a failure. There are times that all of us have those moments where we question that. And I wanted to say that if you get to that point where you feel like that, it's kind of like if you're questioning yourself about if you're humble, you know, or if you have any humility, if you're asking that question, then you probably do. But if you don't ask that question, you know, or if you're like, oh, yeah, I'm humble, you know, then maybe you're not. So it's the reverse of that with this, I think. There are times that we maybe have hit a roadblock and we need to make changes. It might just be one subject, like you said, a co-op or something like that, that gives you some support. Or maybe a subject, maybe you need some tutoring in a subject or that type of thing, or just some fresh a curriculum change or that kind of thing that advisors or mentors can help with.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Don't forget those resources that you have. For those of you watching, some of you may not have a huge circle of support there. That's also common in the homeschool world. You are doing something that is different than what a vast majority of people do. And so sometimes it can be harder to find those people who support the fact that you're even homeschooling in the first place. So I would say definitely get involved in the app, reach out to your mentor, reach out to any of us here in the community, because we are all very supportive of what you're doing. And we know that it's hard. Anything worth doing is going to be hard sometimes. And sometimes it's harder than it is at other times. I know some of you are dealing with those types of things, or, you know, things that just make life hard. Parenting is hard sometimes. And so when you add homeschooling to it, that's a whole new layer. But I think if I can encourage you with anything, it's the fact that when you are with those kids, speaking life into them all the time and developing those relationships, even when life is hard and you're having to model that for them, you're developing a stronger relationship and you're giving them stability in a way they probably would not have, at least as much, if at all, if they were not spending that time with you. And so sometimes there are life lessons that they are learning there that are way more important than the academic ones. Before we wrap up, Christiana, we're running a little low on time, but if somebody's watching and they're like, oh my gosh, I didn't even know I needed goals for my homeschool, or I just feel like a hamster on a wheel and I don't have it all together, you know, how can we encourage them, and how can we show them that, you know, it is worth it to maybe stick out the journey, at least the rest of this year? Nothing is permanent. You don't have to do it forever. But how can we encourage them to keep going through whatever they're struggling with right now?
Well, what you just said about the end, you know, looking back to in college, two very different students that started off. One that I think academically, he was soaring from the beginning. He was ready. And one who was very hesitant, very resistant. I always joke that his favorite book in kindergarten was Rosie's Walk, because it had no words. That was his favorite book. It just had pictures and it had a little fox and it was funny and he would laugh about it, but that was his favorite book. And if the book had words, he was like, no thanks, you know. So I had two very different learners for my oldest two guys. And both of them just finished a semester with A's and B's. Both are doing exceptionally well. And organic chemistry with a 97 and a 98, that did not happen for me. I was not able to do that. And I have a son who is, his advisor has told him this semester that he is ready to, he was considering pre-PA school, going to physician assistant school. And his advisor, after a conversation with him, he's going to apply to med school with the support of his team there, you know. And so that is something that was not in my In my scope, I was not going to be majoring in pre-med. That was not something that was in. But we have, I think homeschooling allowed my son to learn how to learn. I do think that that it's valuable on this side of it, and just keep going.
I was just going to tag along with what you said there, that I think so often we feel like we have to teach them everything, but it's not about teaching them everything. It's about teaching them how to learn, which you said when your sons got to college, they can now learn whatever interests them. And no matter how high level that is, because they know how to learn from their homeschooling, you didn't have to teach them all of those things.
Absolutely.
I agree. I think that's super important, because I know I also was very much the academic kid in my public high school and got to college and did not know how to study at all because I had never had to before. And already with my high schooler, I'm seeing we have very deep conversations. She can analyze a source like most people on the internet cannot anymore. When she hears something in the news, she already is able to evaluate that and say, oh, well, is there any bias to this? Where is this coming from? Is this factual? Do we have evidence? All of these things that I think this younger generation is really going to need with the internet and the amount of information that is just thrown at you in a way that it wasn't when we were kids, because none of that stuff was around yet. And so I'm already seeing the fruits of that, of having the conversations with her, of seeing all the different perspectives that you learn in a sunlight education, that just because you think something is true doesn't mean it's the only way or that it's the way the rest of the world believes. So I feel much more comfortable in launching her in the world where she's going to encounter some opposition, just simply on the fact that I know she has learned these things and has this foundation with sunlight. And then the fact that I feel like I know my kids really, really well, because I have conversations with them daily, even from an early age when my kids were very young. I got to see a peek into who they were and where their heart was and all of these things, because they do open up when you're discussing a book together in a way that is just very organic and natural, and not necessarily the same as if you're seeing each other for the first time since the morning at the dinner table and, well, how was your day? Fine. You know, I think about those types of conversations that a lot of families have. With a homeschooled environment, you get to go so much deeper than that.
Yeah. And I do think that when you are in the middle of your day, in order to cover some academic subjects at some points in the day, there's some relational things that can help and can help you go deeper in what you're learning and can help you overcome. If there are times that you just have to deal with some relational things, maybe they're roadblocks, maybe it's an attitude problem, or maybe it is just some encouragement that's needed, or maybe if you're deeply thinking about something and you really need to discuss it, it's hard to even pay attention to a teacher that's droning on about whatever. And so there are times that we need to stop and have a conversation and process maybe some deeper things they're thinking about, maybe related to questions. My son told me recently, one of my guys told me that he had heard, it was just in the middle of the day, and I can't remember what we were reading. It might've been, he overheard me and his brother reading, in fact, about a book based in the Bible. And he sat down and started listening, about, the topic. And he actually said, you know, I heard our pastor say something a few weeks back, and it really kind of bothered me what he said. I think he meant this. And then he opened up and he said, is this what he was saying about God? Does this, you know, and we had this deep conversation. Not, it wasn't anything judgmental or anything. It was just him really grappling with the truth. Did he mean this? I've really been, you know, kind of hitting that wall again and again. That was the hugest thing that we could have done that day, is to talk about the thing that was really, he said, it actually kind of discouraged me to think about that whole concept. I was a little depressed about it. He told me that. This is a 17 year old told me this. To think about their ages. But yeah, a 17 year old told me I was a little depressed thinking about this. And that is huge that we were able to talk that through. And I would have never been able to even have that whole conversation, mm-hmm, without that moment. And there's so many moments like that.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And so, yeah, if you're struggling, if you feel like, yeah, the world is falling down around you, pick up that book, read together, move forward just a little bit each day. And yeah, Christy and I would both agree that it is totally worth it. One of my goals was that I would have a good relationship with teenage children. Because you hear so many horror stories about teenagers. And, you know, I definitely am seeing the glimpses of who my daughter is going to be as an adult. But then also, you know, sure, there are times that we blow up at each other, just like you would with a normal teenager. But then we have the really sweet moments, too. So I don't feel like it's all hostile, horrible all the time. We have those sweet moments. And some of my fondest memories are when the kids were really tiny and we would just curl up together and they still had their high little voices and would ask questions. And just knowing that you as the parent get to be the source of that information for them, that they trust you as a resource, that, you know, they know you know stuff. And if you don't know it, you know how to help them find the answer, because that is a huge part of it too, learning along with your kids. And earlier, Christy, you said something about make sure you're having fun. So if you're watching this and you are not having fun in your school day, let's find a way to make it fun. Either cook a recipe from a country you're reading about, or go to your local museum that might be, it might be related to school, it might not, but do something that's just a little different and off the wall to make school fun again. Because really, those positive experiences, they will outweigh anything negative by taking a day off to go do that fun thing with your kids today. So thank you so much for joining us. I wish we had more time, because Christy, I feel like we could keep talking and encouraging everyone. But if we did not get to a question that you have, or maybe you're watching this later and feel like you need some help or advice, post that in the comments where, you know, we will see it. We will be able to come back and answer you later. So thank you so much for joining us. And Christy, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.